This afternoon, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 6. That's Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to begin with the first verse and read down through about verse 8. Hebrews 6 and 1 through 8. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let's go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms and the laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes upon it and bears herbs useful for those by whom it is cultivated receives blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned. Living in a somewhat civilized society as we do today, it's difficult for us to imagine the barbaric way the Romans put criminals to death. But the worst of those who committed capital crimes were indeed crucified, nailed to a wooden upright, and allowed to suffer until they died. Now, could you imagine yourself taking large nails and a large hammer and driving nails through the flesh of a human being? Just think about that for a moment. I'm sure that most of us could not imagine such a thing.
We don't see that. Nails on the hands.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we do now.
Okay. I'm sorry, I got a notification that I had made an error here. But taking this large hammer and driving nails through the flesh of a human being is really beyond our imagination. It's precisely what the Roman soldiers did to one Jew by the name of Jesus, a man who never harmed anyone, a man who never took anything that was not his own, a man who had personally restored people to good health through undisputed miracles. But you say, no, you could never do such a thing. Well, let's consider the nature of some of the nails in the hands of Jesus and be sure that we are not guilty of driving them into his hands again today. First of all, there is the nail of ignorance. Peter said that some who had been responsible for Christ's death in Acts 3:17 were just doing it out of ignorance. He said, yet now, brethren, I know that you did it in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But notice, ignorance is no excuse. Paul pointed out clearly in Acts 17 and 30, the times of this ignorance God overlooked. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Today, it is our duty to know the truth. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He also wrote in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12, that the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive a love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. This clearly tells us that it is possible to believe a lie. And consequently, whenever we do not know and believe the truth, we'll believe a lie and be condemned. Why? Well, because we didn't receive a love of the truth. And that is so important. In knowing the truth, of course, there is also implied the duty to obey it as well. In 1 Peter 1:22, Peter says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart." Those who thrive on ignorance are driving a nail into the hand of our precious Savior and Lord. But there's another nail, and that nail is the nail of hatred. We read in John 7 and verse 7 that the world cannot hate you, but it hates me, Jesus speaking, because I testify of it that its works are evil. Throughout this chapter of John, they were wanting to take him by force. But Jesus, speaking in John 15 and verse 19, tells his disciples that they were taken out of the world because the world would love its own, and you are not of the world. But I chose you out of the world. Now notice, therefore the world hates you. The reason for this hatred is clear. If we look in John 3 and verse 19, this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest their deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they are done in God. Those who love sin avoid the light. Why? Because the light shows up what they're guilty of, and they don't want that. In Romans, the first chapter, there, Paul talks about the ones who had refused to have God in their knowledge. And look at verse 28 through 32. He describes those who refuse to retain God in their knowledge. Now look at what it says. Even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but approve of those who practice them. Notice, in the midst of all of these evil things, haters of God, those today who hate God are driving a nail in the hand of the Lord. But another nail in the hand of Jesus is the nail of betrayal. Matthew 26, beginning with verse 24, we find this scene unfolding. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, Rabbi, is it I? And he said to him, you have said it. Already, plan was underway, and soon the deed would be done. As I read down to verses 47 and 50 of this same chapter, while Jesus was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude, with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him. Then immediately he went up to Jesus and said, greetings, Rabbi, and kissed him. And Jesus said to him, friend, why have you come? Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Whatever the motivation, whatever it be it money, power, personal convenience, whatever, we cannot betray our Lord without driving a nail into his precious hand. But there's also was the nail of envy. In Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 17, the record says that they had gathered together, and Pilate said to them, whom do you want me to release to you? Barabbas? Or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that because of envy, they had delivered him. Pilate knew the reason that the Jewish leaders wanted Jesus killed. It was their envy of him. He had the respect of the people. And not being one of the scribes or Pharisees, they couldn't stand it. He wasn't one of them. In Acts chapter 13, verses 44 and 45, we find about Paul in Antioch of Pisidia, and that the problem of envy didn't stop with the death of Jesus. The next Sabbath, Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Now listen. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with what? Envy. And contradicting and blaspheming, they opposed the things spoken by Paul. There are many today who are self-proclaimed religious leaders who are doing the same thing. They are envious of those who love righteousness and love the truth. And in fact, they envy the influence of Jesus. But what of them? Well, they too are guilty of driving a nail in to the precious hand of our Lord. But there's another one here. And that is the nail of lying. In Matthew 26, beginning with verse 59, the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false testimony against Jesus to put him to death. But they found none. Even though many false witnesses came forward, they found none. Now notice, they were willing to accept a lie, but there was nobody who would even lie and tell a good enough lie to put him to death. But at last, two false witnesses came forward and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days.'" Now, they couldn't convict Jesus with the truth. So what did they do? They found liars. Peter warns us about such false witnesses today. In 2 Peter, chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, Peter reflects back on times before when he says that there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you. Now notice what they'll do. They will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Just exactly the way there were false prophets in the early days of God's dealing with his people, there's going to be false teachers that are going to be among us. And notice, he says they will bring on themselves swift destruction. Wow, this is something that we don't stop to think about often, is that false teachers bring on themselves swift destruction. But more than this, many will follow their pernicious or destructive ways. Now, what does he mean? Many people who hear these false prophets, these false teachers, are going to believe them. And many people will be caught up in their false teaching. But listen to the result. The way of truth will be blasphemed. Why? Because they will be teaching things that are contrary to the truth. And whenever people see them doing things contrary to the truth, well, this must be false then over here, because they say this is true, and so the way of truth will be blasphemed. And notice in verse 3, by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. I'm made to think about some of the TV programming that I hear on the radio and see on TV now and then. And these televangelists are begging for money. Oh, just send us your contribution of $25, $50, or $100. And, oh, we'll just, the Lord will bless you and so forth. And what do? They are taking advantage of these people, taking advantage of them with deceptive words. But again, Jesus assures us that their judgment has not been idle and their destruction does not slumber. They're going to eventually reach their reward, and it won't be a happy one. Jesus describes these same false teachers in somewhat colorful language whenever we see him in Matthew 7 and down at verse 15. Whenever he says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. And that's part of their deceptive nature. They will come disguised as a teacher of righteousness. And of course, they're ravenous wolves. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, Paul warned Timothy, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Now, what is sound doctrine? That's healthy doctrine. This is what the truth is. But what will happen? According to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. These are the false teachers and the ravenous wolves we just read about. And they will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to fables. And that's what they will end up believing. Nothing but fables. Not the truth, but fables. And you know, when people want to hear lies, that's what they're going to get. That's what they're going to get. But Jesus said that the worship of those who follow after such liars will be vain worship. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And what's more, those who teach lies are driving nails in the hands of Jesus. But let's reflect just a little bit more here on this. Could it be that you have driven a nail into the hand of Jesus? I don't think we like to think about this, but at one time or another, we all had a part in crucifying Jesus. But what do we need to be careful of now? Now we go back to our reading that we just had at the beginning of our lesson. And that is not to crucify him again. Hebrews 6, verses 4-6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame. Each one of us can be guilty of driving a nail into the hand of Jesus Christ.